Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So here at Bethel for the last 2 years now, we have been using what's called the narrative lectionary. It's a different set of readings than we used to use. The readings we used to use are called the Revised Common Lectionary, and without boring you with a bunch of stuff, which I might have already just done, the Revised Common Lectionary is a series of readings that dates back more or less into the late 50s, early 60s or so. It's that kind of three or four-fold where you have the Old Testament reading, New Testament reading, a piece from the Psalms, and a reading from the Gospels. Does this kind of ring a bell for most of you? Many of you? Right. The idea behind the narrative lectionary is that you follow a single Gospel throughout the entire year. You begin with, well, that's not even true, actually. Well, that's basically what it is. This is why I record, so I can go back and figure out what to do better next time. The idea with the narrative lectionary is you actually begin even further back. You begin in creation, which makes sense. You begin with a creation story somewhere in Genesis, and then you follow through the stories of the church patriarchs, through the stories of the Exodus, get into the Judges, all of the histories and such, get into the wisdom writings, until you get to the time of Advent, at which point you get into the story of Jesus. And then you follow that through Advent and Christmas into Lent and then into Easter. And you keep doing that then up until Pentecost, when you switch and you start doing a sermon series or something else. But the idea here is that over the course of the year, you follow this overall arc from creation all the way through to, honestly, through to Revelation. The whole arc of the story. And it's a four-year cycle, a year where you spend going into Matthew and Mark and Luke, and a year for John. And so over the course of the whole thing, you wind up covering a lot of fun stuff. And I got a kick out of Pastor Dick Wendt, covered for me a few months ago, I think it was. Actually, time flies, so maybe it's even more than just a couple. And he made the comment after he had covered, he said that the reading that day was one he had never preached on before, because it grabs from different things and stuff, such that it covers some things that the other version doesn't cover. And I don't know if we're going to use it forever or not, but we're going to use it at least for a couple more years and go through it. It's been kind of good. But it's all about looking at that overall arc of the story. The overall arc of the story that we find in Scripture. Tonight, you guys just did four readings responsively. We could have done 12. There are eight other ones that are set up for that kind of thing. We skipped Noah and the Ark. We skipped Abraham and Isaac on the mountaintop. We skipped Proverbs, the story of wisdom and its value. We skipped a couple readings in Ezekiel that talk about new life being brought forth in the desert. Zephaniah, when the Lord promises relief to Zion. Jonah, when Jonah is sent out to prophesy and convert the people of Nineveh. Remember that part, by the way. Whenever people think of Jonah, they always think about, what do you think about when you hear Jonah? It's true. That's what you always think about. Which is sad, because really to me the best part of that is when Jonah arrives, prophesies, for one of the few times in Scripture we see the people respond to the prophecy, and Jonah responds by throwing a fit. If you don't believe me, read it, because that's what he does. The people convert, he did his job, and then he gets really upset that he doesn't get to watch them all burn. And we also didn't do the Isaiah reading, where God promises a multitude of descendants to the people. The reason I bring that up is because the readings tonight were kind of like a short version of that lectionary. It's the ark. Not the ARK, not the Noah and the Ark, but the ARC, that overall arc of the story. Hey, it's a rainbow. That is a Noah thing. That's funny. But that's what those readings do, the ones that we heard tonight and the ones that we've been going through over these last several months. And what is really at the heart of that story? I have an answer, but I'm honestly curious. What is at the heart of the story of Scripture? It's the relationship between God and the people, right? I mean, it begins in creation. We begin with a creation story. That actually makes kind of sense. You got to begin somewhere. That's a good place to start. It's like The Sound of Music. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. When you read, you begin with ABC. And when you do the scripture, you begin with Genesis and creation. Not nearly as catchy of a song, but, you know, you get the point. It's that relationship between God and creation, and that relationship between creation and God, and the relationships that we have with each other, with the rest of creation. I think I've mentioned a couple times to people at Bethel that whenever I'm stumped when I'm reading scripture, I ask myself a couple quick questions to figure out what I can pull out of this that's going to help me with my life. I ask myself, what is this telling me about God? And then I ask myself, what is this telling me about my relationship with God? And then I say, what is this telling me about myself? And what is this telling me about my relationship with others? Because the odds are really good that every piece of scripture is doing at least a little bit of one of those, if not all four. This idea of the relationship between us and God, between God and creation, that's the whole reason why we gather. Right? In many ways, that's why we've been throughout this time of Lent gathering as folks from two different congregations, from Prince of Peace and from Bethel. I think we've had a few other stragglers who've showed up time to time too. That's been kind of fun. And actually tonight, we have Pastor Yansu from the Reborn Church. His lovely wife, Jung Yun, is here as well. Thank you for playing the piano. It's about community, right? That's what this whole thing has always been about. How we commune with God, how God communes with us, and how we commune with each other. I don't know for this coming year, I don't know exactly what is going to happen when it comes to the ministry of Bethel Lutheran Church, or for that matter, the ministry of the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church either. I don't know what things are going to look like 1 year from this point in time. I don't know where we're going to be. I don't know what form the ministry is going to take. I don't know how many people are going to have shown up on my doorstep to throw tomatoes. I'm hoping not very many. I really wish I did. But I do know something, because you always should end on hope when you preach. Good advice, if you ever do that. Make sure you end with hope. I do know something. I know that the story of Scripture, that arc that we've been following in the lectionary, the arc of the readings tonight, you know, the six that we had, actually ten if we include the Psalms. I know that the story of the Gospels, the story of Easter itself, is that time and time again, when things seem like they're over, God says, no, they're not. Time and time again, when the people say, we have no reason to hope anymore, God says, what are you talking about? That's all I'm about is hope. Hope for this, hope for that. New life out of death. We are resurrection people. I mentioned Dick Went earlier. What did Dick Went used to always say when he was the interim here? Every day is an Easter day. That doesn't mean that every day means you go down to the flower shop and get yourself some lilies. Although if you want to, go for them. They're pretty flowers. And supporting small business is always a nice thing to do. But what he's getting at there is something really simple. He's getting there at the idea of hope. He's getting at the idea that we are a resurrection people. We of all people should not be afraid of death because we know it's been defeated. Paul just told us that again tonight. I was in the Romans reading a moment ago. Hope abounds. God wins. And if God can defeat death, then as far as I'm concerned, a bunch of carpenter ants and some dry rot and the occasionally leaky roof doesn't have a shot in heck. Because if God can defeat death, then that stuff's way outmatched. Whatever form we take, whether I'm talking to Bethel, to Pop, I love that acronym. You guys have a great acronym. Some combination thereof or whatever else. Whatever form we take, wherever we meet, God is still with us. There is still hope. There is still love. There is still creation. There is still community. And God will be present. And love will abound. And to paraphrase the Genesis reading, it will be very, very, very good. Amen.